Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are we thankful for this morning? I hope you've already started your list. Probably could take a while to list them all. One thing I know that the confirmation kids are certainly glad they're eating turkey instead of reciting memory work, which is what they're usually doing on Thursday morning. I see lots of family here. Another thing to be thankful for, another thing on our list, of course, lots of family visiting us for the holiday. I myself am going to go home and see my dad and brothers later, something to be thankful for. The history of Thanksgiving, history lesson, I'll keep it short. The history of Thanksgiving, if you go back and look at it, was originally intended as a day of prayer and thanksgiving for our nation, to bring us together and unite us as a people. And to thank God for what he has given us. You go back, it was became very important at the time of the Civil War. But if we go back even further, we can find even better reasons for giving thanks. Go back not to the history of our own day of Thanksgiving, but 3,500 years to the history of the celebrations of Thanksgiving in ancient Israel. God commanded the Israelites to have a day of thanksgiving, not once a year, but three times during the year. Now, maybe that would be a good thing, but maybe not if you're the one doing the cooking and cleaning, huh? But the Israelites, they were supposed to celebrate 3 days of thanksgiving. And each one of these had a unique lesson and a unique objective that Christ was trying to teach them. So we're going to study these 3 Thanksgiving holidays of the ancient Israelites. And the first one we find in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 10 to 11. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The first of these 3 Thanksgiving celebrations took place the day after the Passover. It was called the Feast of the First Fruits. It happened in early spring before the Israelites had brought in the harvest. This time of year, the barley was only just beginning to ripen. And as their fields were just about ready for harvest, the Israelites were not supposed to get out their tractors. They didn't have any, of course, but metaphorically, and get ready to harvest. They were supposed to harvest just enough for this first offering, and they were supposed to leave their fields ripe for harvest and go to Jerusalem to have a day of thanksgiving before they had received the harvest, to thank God for what was coming rather than what had already been given. That's a little different. Seems a little odd. Maybe even a little bit backwards. We usually celebrate Thanksgiving after we have received the harvest, although this year maybe not the full harvest is in yet. The cornfields behind my house are pretty full. But usually we wait until after God has given us his gifts to be thankful. And yet the Lord says we should respond with thanksgiving even before. The promises of God are sure and certain, and his promise to protect and provide is so certain that we can rejoice and give thanks before we have received his gifts, because we know they're coming. The story is told of years and years ago of a pastor who had no food for his children, and one of his children told him, well, we should give thanks anyway. So they sat down at an empty table to give thanks. They gave thanks, and there was a knock on the door. He remembers with food for the pastor. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, we find the story of King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And King Jehoshaphat heard that three armies were headed up against him to attack Judah. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir. He called all the people of Israel together. But he didn't call them together to get ready for war. They assembled together before the temple of God, and they cried out to the Lord, and they prayed to the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah. And the Lord spoke through Jahaziel to say to the people of Israel, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So Jehoshaphat and all the people of Judah went out the next morning. But again, they didn't go out clad for war. They went out praising and singing songs of thanksgiving to the Lord. They went out to meet these three armies. And when they came to the place where the armies were, they were dead, every one of them. The Lord had caused a division among the people the night before, and the people of Moab and Ammon had betrayed and attacked the people of Mount Seir, and they had all killed one another. The Lord fulfills his promises. And so we can give thanks even for what we have not yet received. Remember, I mentioned that this first day of Thanksgiving, the festival of the first fruits, happened the day after Passover. And so it was very closely associated with Passover and the themes of the Passover. And remember, the Passover was a celebration of how God had passed over the houses of the people of Israel during the time when he slew all the firstborn of Egypt. And the Passover was then a festival of God's deliverance and mercy. But it was also looking forward to that same deliverance and salvation that would come in the person of Christ Jesus. The people of Israel had been promised a Messiah. They had been promised the forgiveness of sins. They had been promised a Christ who would come and die for them, but they had not yet received it. Yet they still rejoiced with thanksgiving for the forgiveness that they knew they would receive. And in fact, their sins were forgiven, as ours are, through the death of Christ, because even though it had not happened yet, the promises of God are certain and sure. And God forgave their sins ahead of time because he knew that Christ would pay the price when he came. And so the festival of the first fruits, the thanksgiving of the first fruits, reminds us to rejoice and be thankful for what the Lord will provide. We too this morning then offer up prayers of joyful thanksgiving for what we do not yet have, but we know the Lord will provide. If the harvest is not in yet, or maybe we had a bad year, we know that the Lord will take care of us. He has never let us go hungry yet, and he will not. But even more importantly, for the promise of his salvation, which he has given to us, and yet has not been fulfilled, and yet will be. The second festival of thanksgiving we find in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 to 16. "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." The second day of Thanksgiving was referred to as the festival of weeks because it was 7 weeks, and then one more day, the day after the 7th Sabbath. 50 days after the one we were just talking about, 50 days after Passover, they were to have another celebration, another day of thanksgiving. Because it was 50 days after the Passover, this festival became known later on and in the New Testament as Pentecost, the name we are more familiar with. The name Pentecost is the Greek that just means 50 days. Very original. Sounds like some Germans named it, right? Very practical. 50 days after Easter. And by this time, the barley harvest was in, but the wheat harvest was just ripening. And so this is yet again another festival of first fruits, another offering to God for what they knew he would provide. But even more importantly, 50 days after Passover is when the Israelites, having left the land of Egypt, came to the foot of the Mount Sinai, and when God gave his law. And so the Festival of Weeks, the Festival of Pentecost, was not only a thanksgiving for the barley they had received and the wheat they were about to receive, but it was also a day of thanksgiving because the Lord had given to them His law. And once again, this probably sounds a little bit odd to us. Who gives thanks for rules and laws? Can you imagine if a father says to his child, "You cannot watch any more TV until you finish your homework," and the son responds, "Thank you, Father. I will commemorate this day into, for my rest of my life, the day you gave me your law." You see, I can't even say it without sounding sarcastic. It's so ridiculous, right? And yet, that is the response we should have when our fathers, in love, because they know what's best for us, give us rules so that we do our homework and grow up to be good, responsible adults. It is not loving for a father to let his children do whatever they want and never learn and never grow. And the same is true about our Father in heaven. We don't really like His laws and His commandments always, yet they are a wonderful gift from our Heavenly Father. God revealed Himself in His laws, and even more than that, He revealed to us who He made us to be. In His law, God says to us, "I don't want you to be animals just driven by every passing desire of your life. I want you to grow up into good, righteous, useful people. This is who I made you to be, and this is what I want you to be." If you compare the laws that God gave to the children of Israel, if you compare how God revealed Himself to Israel and compare that to the pagan gods that were all around the people of Israel, the gods of the Canaanites, the gods of the Romans and Greeks, even the Nordic gods, what a difference there is there. In Greek and Roman mythology, in Nordic mythology, there is no law. There is no, here's right and wrong, but there's just the passing fancy of the gods. Sometimes they're angry about this, and sometimes they're happy about that, and you never know what's going to set them off. But our God is not such a God. The true God is not such a God. He says, "This is what is good and right. This is what I want you to be." And that is indeed something we should be thankful for today. Considering the history of the festival of Pentecost, it is no surprise that it is this day that God chose to pour out His Holy Spirit upon the apostles, for once again He reveals Himself to the world on the festival of Pentecost. Just as He spoke through Moses on Mount Sinai, so He spoke through the apostles on that day so many days later. And once again reveals to us who He is and who He wants us to be. But this time, instead of giving us His law, which shows us what we ought to be, and yet we know that we have not done that, He reveals Himself through His gospel. And reminds us that even though we have failed to grow up into the righteous and good adults He wants us to be, nonetheless He sent His Son to die for us, and through that gospel has forgiven our sins, and through that gospel lifts us up and makes us His own special people, revealing to us His love on that day of Pentecost. And so we rejoice and thank God for both His law and His gospel, through which He reveals Himself to us. The third and final festival of thanksgiving that the Israelites were to celebrate is in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 to 36. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and on the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, for it is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it.'" Finally, that third festival is referred to as the Festival of Ingathering. And this is the one that's probably closest to what we think of as a festival of Thanksgiving. It happened near the end of the year, which for the Hebrews was early to mid-October. It happened after all the fields, all of the harvest had been brought in. And having received the bountiful goodness of the Lord, the Israelites again left their homes and journeyed to Jerusalem for not one day of turkey, but eight. For 8 days they celebrated and rejoiced in God's goodness and bounty. That would be kind of nice. Instead of one day off from work, you've got 8 days to celebrate Thanksgiving. It is also often referred to as the Festival of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Tents, or the Festival of Booths. Those are all three words for the same thing, the Festival of Tents. Now that's what you find, that's the name you find in the New Testament. Because during the time that the Israelites were in Jerusalem for these 8 days of celebration, they were supposed to live in tents as a reminder of their wanderings in the wilderness and how God had brought them through the wilderness into home, into the promised land. And so the Israelites made tents out of green branches, and people relate, historians tell us how all of Jerusalem and all the area surrounding Jerusalem was vibrant with life during this celebration. Both the green of the tents that were on every roof and in every yard, in every open space, and the dancing and singing that filled Jerusalem for 8 days as the people rejoiced in God's bountiful goodness. Not only all that he had given them in the harvest, but the land and the nation that he had given to them as well. And that's an important thing to remember on Thanksgiving Day as well, to thank the Lord for the land and the nation that he has given to us. Of course, it's not always perfect, and we don't always appreciate our leaders, but nevertheless, the Lord has given us a great gift and prosperity and freedom far beyond anything in the history of the earth, and it's certainly something to pray for and be thankful for. However, this is not the land that God has promised us, is it? As he promised a land to the Israelites, so he has promised us a nation and a land far better even than this one. And so once again, we give thanks and wait with joy for that land which is to come. And while we wait and giving thanks for the land he has promised, his kingdom, the Garden of Eden, which he will restore to us, think about this. God commanded the Israelites on each of these festivals, the three we've talked about, to leave their homes. Every male was supposed to leave his home and travel to Jerusalem. Many of the women went as well, but the command was that every male was supposed to leave and go to Jerusalem. Now, if you're an enemy of Israel, and you know that every male is going to be in Jerusalem celebrating on this particular day, well, that seems like a nice opportunity to invade and take what you want while all the men are away. Or even if you're not an enemy but a neighbor, my neighbor is going to be a devout Jew, and he's going to go up to Jerusalem on this day, I can break in and steal. So the Lord made the Israelites a promise. On the same day that he commanded them to go to Jerusalem, he made them a promise. He said, I will protect your land, and while you are in Jerusalem celebrating these feasts, no one will covet your land, no one will steal from you, and no one will invade you. And for 1,500 years, from the time of Moses till the time of Christ, there is not one known incident of any enemy or army attacking Israel during any of these three feasts. 1,500 years. The Lord kept his promise and protected the land of those people. And if the Lord kept his promise to them for 1,500 years, we can be certain and sure he will keep the promises that he has given to us as well. A land of rest that waits for us, the forgiveness of sins that is ours only through Jesus Christ, and to protect and guide us every day of our lives, to be our God and Father. And so we give thanks. We give thanks not only for the bounty of what he has given us in the past, but we give thanks with certainty for the blessings he will continue to give us into the future and the land and the home he has prepared for us, which we will one day receive. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.